You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
Pastor John and I are in the Gospel of Matthew talking about following Jesus. I love that last song, "I Will Trust You, Lord Jesus," right? Well, my guess is, as we begin to unpack a section of Matthew's gospel, which is Peter walking on water, my guess is every person here has wrestled with this thing called failure of one sort or another. Some of you may actually sadly be wrestling with it right now. And one of the hard things I think about wrestling with failure in our lives is that we can feel isolated, like we're the only one going through this. I mean, you come into a place like Thrive. Yeah, you know, look at the other people. They look like they have it pretty much together. Well, at least most of them look that way. And so just to kind of level the playing field at the start of this message, here is what we are going to do together. We are going to do a mass confession of failure. And I'm going to give you a few categories, and then I'll ask you to, if you have ever failed, I'm going to ask you to actually raise your hand at the end, just as a way of letting other folks here know that you are a fallible human being, and that we all do really wrestle with this stuff, but keep your arms down until I get all the way through, okay? Well, here we go. If you have ever failed a test, ever been cut from a team or auditioned for something and didn't make it, if you ever and went after a job and didn't get the job or you've lost the job, if you have ever been inappropriately impatient with a three-year-old, if you've ever slept through a message and wished you'd stayed awake, or you stayed awake through a message and wished you had actually slept, if you ever said the wrong thing, ate with the wrong fork, or wore synthetic fibers, if you have ever experienced moral, athletic, academic, social, financial, vocational, relational failure of any kind, would you please just raise your hand, just mass confession here at Thrive Church? Thank you for your honesty. God already knew. Well, we're going to walk through a series of observations. There'll be five of them about this. About Peter, based on, if you want to look at the reference later, Matthew 14, 22 to 33 is the section of Matthew we're looking at, and we need to unpack this because it is a reality in our experience of being called to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus. And here's the first observation. We cannot grow in our following of our Lord and Savior as His disciples, as His followers, without risk. And we cannot risk without failing like Peter sometimes. And therefore, a life that is primarily about avoiding failure, friends, is just a form of slow death. And so we have to decide. Because the boat is safe and secure and comfortable, and the water is rough, and the waves are high, and the wind is strong, and there quite honestly is a storm out there. And if we get out of the boat, whatever your particular boat might happen to be, if we get out of that boat, there is always the possibility that we may sink, that we may fail. But brothers and sisters, if we never get out of the boat, there is guaranteed ironclad certainty that we will never walk on water. Because here's really the theme of the whole message. John Ortberg actually wrote a whole book on this theme. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. You see, friends, there is something, actually there is someone inside of us that tells us that our life is about more than just sitting in the boat, that wants us to walk on water as we follow the call of our Savior. It is the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who calls us to leave the comfort of routine existence and abandon ourselves to this great adventure of following Jesus and saying yes to His call. And then sometimes in doing that, we experience the power of God holding us up in our lives, and in essence, we walk on water. So our Lord Jesus comes to his friends. This is the context of Matthew 14. And the Bible says they're all afraid. And Jesus says what he often has to say to us, stop being afraid. Why? Because the storm is not so bad? No. The storm is really bad sometimes. Matthew uses the word seismic, like seismatic. It was a huge storm. But stop being afraid, Jesus says, because it's me. You know me. You can place your life and your destiny in my hands. And friends, if you have been led to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you do not need to live in fear. So in that text, Peter says, all right, Peter says, just command me. And you know, I think that is at the heart of a follower of Jesus. And our Lord says, all right, Pete, get out of the boat. Come to me. Now, again, you have to kind of picture this. Peter goes over the side of the boat. There's a storm going on. We're told it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody is exhausted and terrified. He's by the side of the boat. The other disciples are all looking at him, wondering, you know, they knew Peter. How far is he going to go with this, right? Maybe because Peter is always impetuous. He's kind of shooting off his mouth all one way or another. And they're kind of wondering if he's really going to do this. And we're told that Peter puts one foot over the side of the boat, holding on, I'm sure, to the side of the boat real tightly. And then he puts the other foot. And then he lets go of the boat. And he's standing on the water. And then we're told that he takes a step towards Jesus. And then another step. And you know, for a moment, it's like there's only the two of them in the whole world. And a human being, an ordinary, fallible, fallen human being like you and like me, is upheld by the power of God and is walking on the water. And we're told Peter's eyes are just locked onto the eyes of Jesus. And Peter experiences amazing power because of our Savior. Not because Peter is so special, but only because of Jesus. And then this very interesting thing happens. Matthew in his gospel tells us that Peter kind of shifts his attention and he begins to realize and notice how strong the wind is. And all of a sudden, Peter, you know, these waves are really high and this water is very wet and cold and deep and the storm is really, really bad. And we're told when his eyes and focus shifts to that, it says he becomes frightened, and then he sinks. Second observation, whether Peter was walking on the water or sinking in it depended on whether his attention was fixed on Jesus or on the storm. Whether he was walking or sinking depended on what his eyes were on. And the question here for us to wrestle with this morning is, where are our eyes fixed? Is our attention focused on our Lord and Savior and His power and His grace and His adequacy for our lives? Or is it focused on whatever particular storm we happen to be facing? Because if we focus on that, the storm will overwhelm us every single time. One author who has been studying fear for over 10 years, says that underneath all fear is kind of like a bedrock fear, which is, if one of these bad things happens, I am not going to be able to handle it. And that's one way that people can choose to go through life. There's a storm out there, and I'm not going to be able to handle it. But brothers and sisters, there is another way. It's not a way that we have to try to psych ourselves up for. It's not like an attitude adjustment kind of thing. But by God's grace, it's coming to know the one who has the power over the wind and the waves. And then to answer our Lord Jesus' call, really his invitation, to follow him. To live in the power of God. In this continued awareness that wherever we go, whatever we do, he is right there with us, going before us, standing behind us, but always at our side. And we can pray and ask for his help, and he literally will hold us up. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote, I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. Not because the Apostle Paul thought that he was like omnipotent. Paul knew that he could face anything, whatever life threw at him, he could face it, not because he was such a strong person in and of himself, but because he was connected to this Savior who walks on water. So when Peter's eyes were fixed on Jesus, he's walking, and when his mind is determined and kind of changed by the storm, he's sinking. So friends, let me ask you this again. What are your eyes fixed on? In Matthew 14, Peter sinks. And so the question before us, I think, is this. Did the apostle Peter fail? And this takes us to the third observation I'd like to make, which is this. Failure is not an event that happens to us. Hear that. Failure is not an event that happens to us. Failure is a judgment about that event. It's a label that we actually put on that event. It is an interpretation. It is a way that people think. It's not the event itself. I mean, think of Thomas Edison, Warren Fornemeyer, right? All the attempts he made at getting a filament right for the electric light bulb, right? Or Jonas Salk, the guy who discovered the polio vaccine, after we're told 200 different attempts that didn't work. Somebody actually asked Jonas Salk how it felt to fail so many times, and his response was, I never failed 200 times at anything in my life. In my family, we were taught not to use the word failure. I just discovered 200 ways how not to make a vaccine for polio. So did the Apostle Peter fail? Well, yeah, in a sense he did. I mean, he took his eyes off of Jesus. His faith wasn't strong enough. He grew frightened. He sank. He failed. But friends, here's what I think. I think there were 11 bigger failures who were still sitting in that boat. Now, their failure went unnoticed and uncriticized because it was private, it was safe. They never tried. They never said, Jesus, command me and I will follow, I will go, I'll give it a shot. You see, only the Apostle Peter knew what some of us in this room know. Or you will know at some point in your life. Only Peter knew the pain and the agony and the shame of public failure. And friends, I don't mean to minimize that pain for a minute. But only Peter also knew two more things. Only Peter knew the glory of walking on the water, that when we say yes to Jesus' call, that he can lift us up and we can find ourselves doing things that we could not do on our own power, but only by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And secondly, only Peter knew that in his moment of deepest need, what it was like to be lifted up by his Savior Jesus. Peter knew in a way that others did not know, that when he sank, Jesus would be right there. That Jesus was adequately, wholly adequately to save him. Peter had a shared moment, a trust with his Savior Jesus that nobody else had. I mean, how could they? They never got out of the boat. Now some of you here this morning, you know gut-wrenching failure, and maybe it's been public and embarrassing. And I don't know what you've experienced, but the Bible says whatever that is, our Lord and Savior Jesus is wholly adequate to save. And Jesus is right here. The psalmist says, just cry out like Peter, right? Just do what Peter did. Just trust Jesus. I mean, who else are we going to turn to? What else are we going to do with our one and only lives this side of eternity? For the end of our story as a believer in and a follower of Jesus isn't written yet, right? Just as the end of Peter's story wasn't written fully yet. You see, Jesus is still, I believe, looking for people who will get out of the boat. That when he calls, we follow. That empowered by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, we will say, Lord Jesus, command me, and best as I can, I'll say yes. Now, I do want to qualify that yes this way, because I don't mean that we want to glorify risk for its own sake, or for foolish risk-taking. Our Lord Jesus isn't looking for evil Knievel type of folks, you know, bungee cord jumping, skydiving, hang gliding, pinto driving people. For those of you who don't know what pinto is, look it up in Google. I know sometimes talking to young people, they have no clue what I'm talking about. Anyway, I think this account was very carefully inspired by the Holy Spirit to help us understand that at the heart of a follower of Jesus is this simple statement, command me. Peter says, command me to come to you. Command me to obey you. Command me to serve you. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus is still looking for people to get out of the boat. For some of you, that may mean a new involvement in some aspect of ministry, to serve or to give or to teach or to lead. For some of you, this may be a call to pray. For others, it may be a call to enter into a deeper level of community, getting to know people, sharing your life and faith with them. But friends, whatever that call is, here's the fourth thing. It is a commitment to a life of growth and following Jesus. A commitment to a life of growth and following in Jesus is actually a commitment to the constant reoccurrence of the experience of fear. Brothers and sisters, if we choose to pursue growth in our Savior, we're going to experience fear sometimes. Leading up to this story, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus commands his friends to get into the boat. They do. A terrible storm comes up. They're afraid. He says, stop being afraid. Peter says, all right. Jesus says, walk to me. Peter gets out of the boat. He notices the storm. He's frightened. He cries out. Jesus bails him out again. To be a follower, a learner, a student of Jesus is to choose to grow. And in order to grow, we always have to enter into new territory. We always have to get out of whatever boat God is that we're in. And every time we do that, we will probably experience fear. I mean, that is just life this side of heaven. To choose growth as we're led by the Holy Spirit means we have to make a choice between comfort or fear. To be a follower of Jesus means that we'll have to renounce comfort as the ultimate value in our lives. And if you think about it, that is just bad news in our culture and society, because as a culture and society, we are into comfort in a serious way. Do you know the name of the number one selling chair in the United States? It's Lazy Boy, right? Not Risky Boy, not Worker Boy. They don't sell chairs with names like that. No, it's Lazy Boy. because we want to go home and immerse ourselves in comfort. We have a term for that too, right? People will say, I just want to go home and veg out. Have you heard that? I want to make myself as much as a form of plant life as is humanly possible. And we have a term for people like that. We call them couch potatoes. Well, if you think about it, the 11 disciples were kind of like boat potatoes. They didn't want to have to face up to the fear that Peter had to face. And sometimes churches are often filled with what we might call pew or chair potatoes. People who may not want to risk the adventure of following Jesus that far. But our Lord and Savior is still looking for people who will get out of the boat. Now, I know I'm going overtime here. Hang in there with me. One more thing. Failure doesn't shape us. Failure doesn't shape us. It's part of the good news of the gospel. Our God is a God with a face of forgiveness to us in and through his son Jesus, right? So failure, even deep failure, doesn't shape you. But the way that we react to that, the way we react, that will shape us. For many of us, too often, I think, in our lives, we hold back from following Jesus' call fully, from taking real risks. We hold back from those tensions that we ought to face up to, or confrontations that we ought to have, but we don't because we don't want to risk failure or appear to be a failure. But brothers and sisters, I don't think we want to get to the end of our life, this side of heaven, and look back on it and say, what if I had just gotten out of the boat? I don't think we want to reach the end of our life and ask that question. What my life would have looked like if I would have just trusted Jesus fully? What would my life have looked like if I had just played it safe, not played it safe, just because of fears? Now again, friends, I don't know what getting out of that boat means for you. But I do know this much. You as a child of God, chosen by grace, loved with an eternal love, you will miss the opportunity of a lifetime if you don't get out of the boat. Our Lord Jesus is still looking for people who will do that. And if you do, you're going to have problems. Because the wind is high and the waves are strong and there's a storm going on out there. And our faith is not perfect and there will be times we will sink and we will fail. But friends, remember this. When we do fail, our Lord and Savior Jesus is wholly adequate to pick us up. We are never alone. And the other thing, every once in a while, right? We're going to experience being held up by the very power of God, the one who created the universes, and be enabled by him to do some extraordinary things that are beyond, way beyond our own abilities and capabilities. Because following Jesus and his command, we might actually walk on water. And all God's people say,